Today, I want to talk a little bit about pressing through those blockades, pressing through the walls, let's call it, that the enemy puts up to hold us back from our God potential. God doesn't only bring us out of sin or slavery to leave us on the journey. No, he wants us to walk with him by faith and enter into the most amazing, abundant life that he has in store for us. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about how to work the wall and not let the walls make us waste away. You know, the enemy's desire for your life is to waste away. And God wants you to do amazing things. How many of you ever heard the term hit the wall? Anybody ever heard that term before? It's a term that is often used in a marathon or runner's life because as they're running a long race, they, so to say, they run out of steam, they hit the wall. And when they hit the wall, they have two choices. Either they can quit and stop running the race and never cross the finish line, or they can press through that wall, and as they press through that wall, get on the other side, catch a fresh wind, let's call it, and move forward and finish the race. And not only do we hit the wall if we run marathons and lose endurance sometimes, we hit the wall in all aspects of our life. And again, every one of us have a choice to make. What are we going to do when we hit the wall? Are we going to press through and quit? Or are we going to just stop and quit? Are we going to press through and get to the other side, catch that fresh wind, and run after our God potential? Or are we just going to quit whenever we hit the wall? We hit the wall in sports. We hit the wall in relationships. We hit the wall in our jobs, and again, God doesn't want us to stop when we hit the wall. He can use the wall to build our faith and encourage us to do great, great things. Listen to what the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16. It says it this way, "For God so loved the world, for God so loved people." The Bible says that he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not waste away, shall not just dry up in life and not achieve anything great. Whoever believes in him, the Son that God gave, shall not perish but have eternal life. And when we hear that verse read, oftentimes we just think about the future. We just think about heaven. Oh, God forgives me of my sin, and so one day I'm going to spend life with him in heaven. No. The Bible says he gave his one and only son for whoever believes in him will not perish, will not waste away, but have eternal life. And eternal life don't begin in the future. Eternal life begins now. Come on. And so what God don't want you to do is perish on the journey. On the journey. And there's so many things in life that put up walls that make us want to perish. But Jesus came so we could have eternal life. And not only eternal life, he goes on to say in John 10:10, he gives us abundant life, a life that is overflowing. So how does the enemy put up these walls, and what does these walls do to people often, and what do these walls mean? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19, whenever he spoke to Peter. Now, Peter was one that basically said in this passage, he called Jesus the Messiah. He called him the liberator. Everybody knows what a liberator does, right? That's what a Messiah is. A Messiah is one who liberates. And Peter announces Jesus as the liberator or the Messiah, the one who sets people free. And whenever he announced that Jesus was the one who sets people free, I want you to listen what Jesus said back to Peter. And it's found in your Bible in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and 19. He says, Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. On the solidity of the faith and the truth that you just announced, I'm going to build a church, a people that are called out to do incredible things. Peter, on this rock, on what you just said about me being the liberator, on the faith you said it with, and the truth that you just announced, he says, I'm going to build a church that the walls can't hold back. Look what he continues on to say. He says, I'm going to build a church and the gates of Hades, the walls of the enemy, will not overcome it. In other words, this church is going to move forward into all that God has in store for it. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, he says, the kind of faith that you just exhibit, Peter, is a church that I'm going to build. And what this church is going to have the ability to do is loose what is in heaven on earth and bind the things up on earth that don't belong in heaven and give people the keys to eternal life. Give people the keys to how to basically break down the walls. In other words, he says, Peter, there's going to be an enemy that tries to put up walls, but the faith that you just exercised is the kind of faith that is needed in order to work the wall and not let the wall make you waste away. So today, we're going to begin to answer the question, how do we work the wall? Because what God wants to do is basically for all of us to be set loose here on earth to live life and live it to the full. And if you have your Bibles with you today, I'm going to invite you to turn it to Joshua chapter 6. And in Joshua chapter 6, there's a story here about the Hebrew people moving into their promise, into what God promised them a long, long time ago through Abraham. For them, it's a story about them moving into the promised land. And what they do in this particular story is they move across a river and they march around the city of Jericho, around its walls for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they march around it seven times. They blow a trumpet, then they shout, and these walls fall down. But what is the significance of this story? What is the significance of Jericho? Jericho is a city that is fortified, and it's standing in between what God promised the people and the future that he had for them. And it's the first city that he caused this commander-in-chief, Joshua, to march the people around and take over in order to display the power of the living God. In other words, there's some walls here that are huge. It's a huge city. It's the first city that they take over of many cities in order to conquer all God had in store for them. But it's unique that the city basically has these huge walls that God is going to break down through them in order to manifest his incredible, incredible power. And I know that many of us have walls in our life, but if we're really going to see those walls crumble, like these walls crumbled around Jericho, we have to learn the principles of what God said to Joshua and the people in order to see these walls fall down. So the first thing I wrote down is this, is if we're going to see walls fall in our life, because I do believe that many people want the walls to fall in their life, but if we're going to see walls that the enemy puts up, and the reason the enemy puts it up is to hold you back from your potential. And it's also the reason he puts it up is because he's afraid of what's inside of you. Understand that today. The enemy is afraid of the commander-in-chief that is over your life. He is he wants to hold you back from your God destiny. He'll do everything he can to keep you and I from achieving what God has in store for us. But he also does everything to distract us and hold us back because he's afraid of God advancing here on earth as it is in heaven through his children, through his sons and daughters, which are people. He's afraid of that because that's what God said he's going to do. It's why you're created. You're created in the image of the living God to permeate the presence of God, the Most High God, here on earth as it is in heaven. He put us here to do that. But if we're going to do that and break down these walls, the first thing we have to do is we have to unify. Everybody say unify. The church is put on the planet to advance God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. It's what we're here for. And we have to unify around this principle. Look what it says there in Joshua chapter 6, if you have your Bibles. The Bible says this in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. It says, the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people in Jericho were afraid of the Israelites. Again, they had gotten word that God was with these Israelites. And the Bible says they shut themselves up inside of these walls. The walls represent, you know what, standing between God's promise to his people, the Israelites, and the future that they have. And it also holds the enemy inside. And what I wrote in my journal about this, if God is with you, then the enemy is always intimidated by you. He will put up walls of defense to hold you back. The Bible goes on to say this, no one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I've given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. And then it goes on to say, it says in verse 3, it says, you and your fighting men should march. Everybody say march. March around the town once a day for 6 days. So here, the commander-in-chief is given a word by God, the creator, and he says, what you are to do is you and your fighting men, your great warriors, are to march around this city for 6 days. And so I began to ask the question years ago when I read this passage. I'm like, why would God tell them to march? Because warriors, you know what? They fight. And he says, I need you and all your fighting men to march. And what I've discovered is what marching represents is this. Marching represents being in sync. It represents being in one accord. Marching, has anybody ever watched a band march in a parade? Okay, you don't have one person marching sideways, one person marching forward, one person marching backwards, and one person marching to the other side. You have people that are in sync, all going in the same direction. They're marching to the same rhythm, the same beat. And what I've discovered is God told these people to march because he understood that in order for them, all of them, to enter into this amazing promise, that they needed to be unified and they didn't need to basically be divided. In other words, he needed them to basically unify their hearts in what he was going to do, and marching represents unity here in this passage. And so what God's inviting his church to do, for the walls to come down in people's life, for the walls to come down in our city, because the walls the enemy puts up always holds people hostage. It holds people inside hostage. And what God calls the church to do is to step into that. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. He calls his church to knock down the walls, rescue a people, and advance forward towards their amazing promise. But the enemy's on the inside, locking people down, holding them hostage. And if we're really gonna see the walls crumble down in people's life, we have to get in sync and march to one drum beat. Underneath, wait a minute, underneath one commander in chief, his name is Jesus. Do you really believe that Jesus is the commander in chief of the Lord's army? Do you really believe that Jesus is the Lord of the church? Do you really believe that Jesus came to give you and I abundant life here on earth as it is in heaven? If you believe that, get behind him, get to marching, and let's see what God will do as he breaks down walls in people's life. See, what's so fascinating about this is the generation before this, they did circles in a desert for 40 years. They weren't unified. They weren't unified in the purpose that God had called them to. And so they all did their own thing. Went in their own way, their own direction. This disunity caused great discouragement. In other words, God had given them an earthly leader. His name was Moses. And the Bible says that as Moses was trying to advance them forward and spoke about this amazing promise, this abundant life that God had in store for them, that many of the people, they began to grumble and complain about what they didn't have and what God was basically going to do. And all this grumbling and complaining cause division. And I wonder if today we're not seeing the walls come down in people's life, in the cities that God has put us in. I wonder if we're not seeing walls come down because many of us are kind of doing our own thing. And we're not getting in line, aligning with who God says the church is to be, the called out ones are to be, and marching towards the direction that he says for us to march in. I wonder if it's why the walls have come up in your life, because the enemy is trying to intimidate you from running the race that God has in store for you. See, the enemy will always place walls to protect himself, and he will always place walls in place to keep you away from the amazing promise God has in store for you. And what God calls us to do as a church is to march towards the same direction with the same purpose and be unified in what God is doing in this earth. Let me show it to you. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Look what it says. It says, make every effort. Slap your neighbor and say, give some effort right now. Come on. Make every effort. No matter what's going on. Make every effort. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. And it's not talking about two airlines. It's talking about being united, unified in the spirit that God places inside of his people who have believed in the finished work of Christ on a cross. And he gives us that spirit so we can align and follow our commander in chief and bring glory to God as God permeates this earth through us into this earth to do amazing things. It goes on to say, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you've been called to one, to call to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. And so what this passage is doing here in the New Testament is it's calling us to unify our hearts and put Jesus as the commander-in-chief over our life and work together, unified, to break down the walls. Remember what Jesus said? He says, I'm going to build a church that the gates of Hades, the walls of Hades, can't hold back. And if the walls of Hades is really going to work through us and break down the walls and break down the barriers, the first thing we got to do is unify. But not only do we need to unify, we also need to prophesy. What do I mean by prophesy? What I mean by prophesying is speak the truth of what God has already said. Because the truth of the matter is this, is oftentimes we believe the truth of our feelings over the facts of our faith. And so I'm talking about prophesying what God has already said in his word about who we are. And he here in this passage, it's amazing because the walls begin to come down and God basically says, here's what I want you to do is I want you to speak the truth about who I am. Believe the truth about who I am and basically don't give in to your feelings. You know your feelings will lie to you. But our faith in who God is and what God has said, we have to prophesy that truth. If not, our skin will discourage us and pull us back from our God potential. Look what it says, Joshua chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. The Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town seven times with the priests blowing the horns. And when you hear the priests give one long last blast of the ram's horn, have all the people to shout as loud as they can, and then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. Now, let's think about this for just a minute. These are the instructions that God gives the commander-in-chief Joshua at this particular time about entering into the promise, taking the people into to the abundant life, taking the people into this promised land. And for 40 years, there was a generation of people that circled in the desert and they didn't get to enter the promised land because they didn't trust what God said by faith. They trusted God to take them out of Egypt, but they didn't trust God by faith to step into the amazing promise that God had in store for them. And why did they not step into that promise? It's because of their feelings. And they felt one way about what God had said, and they didn't exercise their faith. And this passage of scripture is found in Numbers chapter 13, where basically God sends out 12 spies and 10 of them come back with a report as, you know what, that land that God took us in to show us so we could take all the other people into this land, it is what God says, but there's giants in the land, and up against the giants, we felt like grasshoppers, is what the scripture says. And so what I really think is, though it felt ridiculous to walk around a wall, you know, at 6 days and then walk around it seven times on the seventh day and blow the ram's horn, that probably didn't feel, you know what, like basically a way to win a battle and step into your future. But they had faith that God said it, so we'll do it. God will ask you to do some things sometimes by faith, according to the truth of his word, that your feelings will argue with. In other words, God will ask you oftentimes in your relationships. He tells us what a relationship between a man and a woman is. It's called marriage. And God says, I bring two people together for a reason. He says, I bring them together so they can be fruitful and multiply, permeate the earth with kids and eventually my presence, and I can be seen throughout the earth. But I bring them together, and the truth of God's word says this, what God brings together in oneness, he says, let no man tear apart. Now, again, oftentimes we feel one way, but God said, I put you together as one, come underneath my authority, my leadership, and let's see what I can do. But oftentimes as we do the journey, we don't feel the same way we felt in the beginning, do we? And has it ever occurred to you in those relationships, maybe the reason you don't feel the way you felt is because there's a test of your faith to get to the other side, and the enemy don't want you to experience the abundant life that God has for you together. So he puts up a wall for you to hit the wall, and you have a choice to believe by faith. God said it, I'm gonna believe it, I'm gonna press through, I'm gonna see the walls come down, or I'm gonna quit and stay on this side. See, we all have a choice to make. And the enemy's a master at it. He will put up walls in every area of your life. He will put up walls in my life, your life, and he will try to keep us from moving forward. But God says, man, I want you by faith to trust who I am. The people never entered the promised land in that previous generation is because, you know what, they went with their feelings instead of their faith. And here's the interesting thing about our faith is God will never speak to our faith about moving forward something that is contrary to his word. In other words, he's given his truth. The question is, do you believe it or not believe it? And in reality, he's laid it out for us. And every one of us have a choice what we're gonna do with the word of God. You know what? I just don't feel this way about this situation. Well, what has God said? And what we begin to think is God is some, you know, human being, though he came in the form of a human being, he's God, he's a spirit, he's over all, he's in all, and he works through all. He lives in men and women alike, and he's doing amazing, amazing things. But our skin, the Bible says, contradicts, our flesh contradicts the spirit of God. In other words, there's a war going on inside of every human being that has trusted the spirit of the living God. There's a battle. And the way the enemy wins the battle is he builds walls to destroy your future. The enemy's strategy, listen to me, the number one strategy of the enemy is always to divide and conquer. If the enemy can divide you, he can conquer. And the enemy was good at dividing the previous generation. But you remember what God said to Joshua? You be strong and courageous. And you don't be terrified. You go in the direction I say, that you are to go in. You go and march around them walls and see if I can't do what I say I'm going to do. And again, Joshua somehow spoke to the people. The people lined up. Everybody say lined up. Lined up. They lined up behind the commander-in-chief. They all marched in the same direction, and they got to see what God could do through them. But the enemy is always trying to divide you. He's trying to divide the church. He's trying to divide families. He's trying to divide your thought processes. He does it in our culture all the time. I got to declare to you something today. God is not a Republican. And he's not a Democrat either. He's the God of the universe. He's the God of you, and he's the God of me. And I'm here to tell you that the enemy's strategy is to divide and conquer. He does it through race. And if you get caught up in, you know, this race or that race or, you know, that person or that person. No. God is for people in general, both male and female. He's not against people, and he's not against colors of skin or not lack of color of skin. This is all division that the enemy creates in the world between people so that we can't be more than conquerors with our life. So how do we begin to operate by faith instead of by our feelings? I wrote down this. Well, we just need to renew our mind. Regular with the Word of God. That's why it's beautiful to hear the Word of God. My dog was even changed by the Word of God. You think I'm kidding? This week, my wife's in the kitchen, and I'm in the living room. And that means she was right here, and I was right here, because we live in a little small place, and so we were really close together. And she made a choice to cut on some kind of meditation app with this funky music on. But what was in it was the spoken word of God. And our dog, Jetson, was going ballistic, going crazy because somebody made a noise in the hall. And when somebody makes a noise in the hall, he goes bonkers. He just like flips out or whatever. And so she's listening to this meditation app. All of a sudden, Jetson sits on the couch. He just hears the word of God and he's forever changed. I don't know. See? So, yeah. Why do I tell you that story? Why do I tell you that story? Because I'm not talking about reading God's word like a novel. Like, if God said it, you believe it. And here's the deal. Listen to these few verses. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that God calls us everything. Everybody say everything. Everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Romans 8, verse 31 says this, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Come on. James, let me read this one to you. James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. When trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity of great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance, everybody say endurance. Your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So here, I wrote this down. It's not my skill level that determines the victory that I have through Christ Jesus in this earth. It's not my skill level. It is my faith and my perseverance. See, because the Bible says for us to have faith, but our faith is to be built up by obstacles, by things in the earth, and not to quit when the walls come up, because you got faith that God says there's a promise, there's an abundant life, and you're going to go towards that promise and that abundant life in spite of the wall. It doesn't mean the wall's not real, but the facts of your faith are greater than the feelings of the wall and the facts of the wall, and you're going to believe by faith that you're going to get to the other side of whatever you're going through, and you understand if you can endure and not quit, You're going to get to the other side, and it's going to be amazing. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you throw in the towel. Somebody asked me, hey, is the vision moving forward? Yeah, it's moving forward. It's moving at 1 mile an hour. And I don't, look, it ain't moving at 120 mile an hour. I wished it was, but it's moving and it's going forward, and it will be what God says it will be, because here's the deal. We're going to endure. We're going to endure. And we're not going to quit, and we're not going to give up. It feels horrible sometimes, but the reality of it is, I'm like, God, you're building wind. You're building wind. You're building your spirit in me. You're teaching my spirit to be stronger than my flesh. You're teaching, you know what, you're purging the old out and you're putting the new in. And so we got to understand, we got to unify, and we got to prophesy God's truth over our life, over our church's life, over our people's life. And it's not just words off a page. It's words that get in our heart and change our forever. And then the last thing I wrote down is this, is we also got to testify. Unify, you want to see walls come down? Prophesy and testify the goodness of God. I can testify about all the bad things that are happening all around us all. I mean, you all know what they are because you see them all the time. But the Bible says that we'll become overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And the reality of it is do you really believe God's good when all the world around you is bad? And do you really believe that it's a scheme of the enemy to keep people from reaching their God destiny? Because I believe that God wants people to achieve. I believe that God wants people to succeed and live the abundant life. And not just when we get somewhere one day. It begins now. I come to give them life and give it to them abundantly. I came so those who would believe would not waste away, would not perish. They wouldn't let the wall make them waste away, but they would work the wall and live the abundant life. And so I'm inviting people to work the wall. So many people are trapped behind the wall. So many people are trapped outside of the abundant life that God wants to give them. But church, we have to work the wall and not let the wall make us waste away. And we have to testify about the goodness of God. Look what it says here. Last part of Joshua chapter 6 says it this way in verse 20. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horn, they shouted as loud as they could, and suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight in into the town and captured it, shouting. You see, again, when they blew the ram's horn, it was a sign that something was getting ready to shift, that something amazing was getting ready to happen. In other words, they were preparing people, either warning people with the ram's horn that something was coming against them, or they were warning people that they were getting ready to move something forward. But it's interesting because he says, when you hear the ram's horn blow, what I need you to do is shout. And what shouting was a form of praise. It was a form of celebration. Celebrating that God is who he says he is, and he's moving things forward. And it wasn't until they chose to basically shout about the goodness of God until the walls came down. And again, I'm not just talking about, you know, waking up one day and just start shouting with your voice, but I'm talking about shouting with your soul. And the question is the enemy got your soul trapped today? Has he put up walls in your life through church meetings, through relationships, through, you know, all these things in the world? what God says is I'm building an unshakable kingdom. And what he's going to do is he's going to shake some walls down if we choose to praise him in the storm. We choose to praise him on this side. We choose to shout the name of the goodness of God. God is good, my friends, in spite of what's going on in the world, in spite of the evil that's coming into the earth, in spite of what's happening, God is good. And when we shout about the goodness of God, God begins to shift the atmosphere. See, I think the challenge with the church today, and I'm not talking about standing on the street corner telling everybody, you know, turn or burn, kind of shouting. I'm talking about the church needs to be shouting with the love of Christ everywhere. The church needs to be saying, you know what? No, no, no. God is for us and he's not against us. The church needs to be saying, you know what? Come be a part of this. Get in line. Line up, somebody. Line up and let's see what God can do through us. The church is calling people to action. The church is saying, why would you stay out of line? Why wouldn't you come underneath the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and let him speak into your life and do amazing things to your life? Let's march. Let's go together and let's see what God can do. The church isn't to be complacent. Who wants to wander around in a desert for 40 years? I prefer to take hold of the promise and for you to take hold of the promise and let's see what God can do. Church, God is calling us to work the wall and not let the wall make us waste away. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. And I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl here today. And God, I pray we would work the wall and not let the wall destroy our faith. I know the enemy is working in families. I know the enemy is working in people's life. But God, you're working too. And God, you're working in places we can't even see. God, you're working the ground before us. All we have to do is march, unify, and believe that Jesus came into this world to change the eternal destiny of people. And God, I pray we would be the kind of church that reaches out by faith and believes that people can, they can come out of darkness and step into the wonderful light and begin to march and reach their full God potential. God, I pray we would call people to march. I pray we would call people to unify. I pray we would call people to prophesy and call people to testify about your goodness on a regular basis. God, you're amazing, and sometimes the world around us can begin to make us feel defeated. But God, I pray for a spirit today, a spirit for your church, your people to rise up and be who you've created us to be. God, you've called us to take hold of the future and what you have in store for us. So God, if there is one here today that hasn't trusted you by faith, I pray today that they would say, God, I'm tired of doing life my way, and I'm ready to trust what Jesus did on the cross and through the resurrection for me so I can become a part of your family. My friend, all you have to do is just say, God, I'm ready to come underneath your authority, underneath your leadership. I receive the forgiveness of my sin that Jesus offered, and I believe in the power that he places in me to achieve the great things. I invite you to submit to that power all the days of your life and be a part of what God's doing in the earth. And let's see together what God can achieve and do through the work of his people. And God, we thank you for Jesus, our commander in chief. We pray it in his name. Amen.